Welcome to the Presentation Podcast, Season 6, Episode 139. Let's start another design studio conversation about presentation design and the business of presentation. Here are the show hosts, Troy Collar, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services based in Southern California. It is December and 80 plus degrees. How about you?
Ooh, that sounds awesome. Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey, where there is a tiny bit of snow falling now and then.
Hey, so let's talk about what's happening, because it's a fun time of the year. We're into December now. I personally have been doing holiday decorations, and that's why I actually brought up the weather. It's been too warm outside for me to get the ladder out and be up on the ladder without, you know, just it's like summertime.
It's too hot to put up Christmas.
I've been doing it in the morning, the outside ones. I've been doing it in the morning and in the late afternoon because it's just too hot during the day. So, we do the front of the house. It's almost done. We got to do the programming and a few other things in the yard displays, but it's about 11,000 lights. We have fun. Happiness and family time is what the month is all about.
If you need design work, please send it Troy's way because he has an electric bill to put
that. Well, I do have a funny story about that, and it involved throwing away all the lights one year and Lori going out and spending, I don't know, close to $1,000 on LED bulbs, saying this will pay for itself this month's electric bill, because we were paying a lot. Anyways, we are doing interviews for a new designer, which is very exciting. We've gotten to the point now where it's kind of like weird because it's, you know, I don't want to say post COVID, but suddenly we're bringing on new team members. So we've been having some great interviews.
And as you've explained in the past, you hire designers. You don't hire necessarily presentation designers, correct?
Correct. Everybody's a design school graduate. And our top candidate right now is actually a fairly recent graduate. And actually, Lori showcased a few presentation stuff. And she said, wait, that's the PowerPoint program? It was like, you have the perfect answer and you're really high on our list because of that, because it wasn't, I'll tell you what to do in that program, or I know how to do it.
Perfect.
We have, but you know what, Nolan, we actually don't want, I don't want to say this the wrong way. We don't want more work. We have some major presentation design work projects going on, because it's the end of the year. Every company's doing their end of year spends. They're gearing up for their Q1 kickoff meetings and rollouts of information. We're busier than I expected.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Yeah, exactly.
Don't send us work.
Okay, so outside holiday decorations and handling presentation work, maybe that's all you're doing. What are you guys up to?
I'm just back from a Thanksgiving holiday in Mexico, which with the extended family, we rented a house down there on this sort of island, which was a little more remote than usual, which was just really nice. And then we came back to, you know, freezing cold weather here, and work, which we had to catch up on. I'm working on a couple of template proposals for the new year. I have an article in this month's Creative Pro magazine, which just came out. I'll have another one next month. And I also spent the last year serving as a consultant on a new presentation training course for scientists by Nature Magazine. Yeah, and that finally has launched. It's been a long process, but we'll put the link in there, but it's masterclasses.nature.com. So they have a whole, you know, training series for scientists, and they just put one out for presentation.
Well, I'm really hoping that the scientists I'm working with right now read that. See that, subscribe to it, because it's been a nightmare.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. And I also got to kind of work a little bit. Well, Richard Goring was another sort of expert brought on to do some videos, and I've got some videos in there as well. But also I got to work with Michael Alley, who wrote, in my opinion, the best book on scientific presenting called The Craft of Scientific Presentation. And so
maybe I'll give them that.
Christmas it's a phenomenal
gift.
Book.
A holiday
it's
gift. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. He's fantastic. He's a professor and yeah. So there we go.
Wow. Wonderful. That's awesome.
How about you, Sandy?
Well, I've kicked into full gear with my, at our last podcast, I announced my new presentation agency of record client, a year-long contract. I'm really excited about that. It's going really, really well. I'm building templates for others. I'm working on investor presentations and corporate presentations. And as you both mentioned, it's the end of the year rush as corporate departments need to use up their annual budgets. And the fun part is I'm transitioning to new technical gear. And I'll bring that up in our pro tips at the end.
Ooh, okay. Tantalizing teasers. Okay, going on to news. Okay, on the news front, it is December, so we have a good topic here, and it's going to be very full of tips and stuff. But what's happening in kind of the presentation world? I know we each have I have one thing. What do you guys have?
There are a few things that came out. There's a new add-in that I became aware of that just launched called Design Toolbars. And the overall design, have you guys heard about this one? Have you taken
heard
it
about
first
it? Yes, I haven't tested it yet.
So
I have not.
You can take a look at it at designtoolbars.com, and I took it for a little spin. I think there's a generous preview period for it. And it just gives you a couple new tabs with all sorts of things like charting to put in some shortcuts, productivity things. It'll do things like put in automatic table of content pages for you that get updated. So it's it's the Venn diagram of it, overlaps other things like BrightSlide and Tools 2 and some other things. But it's, there might be some interesting stuff there. My criticism of it is that it's very, very expensive. I think it's like $250 a year or something like that. And it's a subscription. So, but as always, if you need the stuff, if it's going to help save time, then perhaps it's worth it. But take a look. It's designtoolbars.com.
I will look at this. I am not familiar. This is great. So this is new to PowerPoint. It's a core new feature. It's the new PowerPoint Record Studio. It's available to the beta, and I believe the current, it has to be the current slash preview builds, because that's what I'm running on this computer, and I have it. Are you guys familiar with this? It's when you're in PowerPoint, it's the Record tab, and it is kind of a redesign, and I'm very excited about it. It allows you to basically record your slides with narration. It puts your camera in the lower corner. This is Microsoft being Microsoft. There are several tools coming out with, abilities to add your webcam into it and other things, but this is a core presentation or PowerPoint tool, and it's made for recording presentations. And I really am impressed with how its functionality and just its layout. So when you go to record, it basically opens up a simplified, I don't know how to call it. It's like a simplified presenter view, but it has marker tools, and it's just a very full screen, very easy to use, very clear and concise thing. What's really funny is I've opened it up, and I know we're talking on our podcast recording, and I can't get out of it to get back to us.
Oh no!
There we go. Okay, found it. Well, I'm used to presenter view, and I'm looking for the end of slideshow. It's just the X. Okay. It's good.
Is this a replacement or just an advancement to the current record slideshow?
I would call it an advancement. It's the record tab now has additional content on it as well, but the far left one called record, it is a drop down that says record from current slide or beginning. It'll open up a new experience.
Okay.
And this was announced, the link we're going to put in the show, it goes to a website called onmsft.com, on Microsoft, which is something I haven't seen before. Is this it's a PowerPoint feature, right? It's not like a plugin or something.
Yeah, you know what? The website I gave everybody, it's not a Microsoft one. It's a company that reports about Microsoft, but it had the better review of it than Microsoft does. So
I didn't see it in the like what's new in PowerPoint.
It was a blip at one point, and it might, but and so it's not on everybody's builds because it's not on the corporate you know, we're not allowed to have anything advanced. I'm sure that'll be coming very, very quickly. I also don't know if it's available on the Mac version, Nolan. So
I have not seen it. I will take a look right now, but I don't think, Mac's recording has always been,
it's been a different process altogether, but I think the goal is to unify. Anyways, it's a newer feature. It's now out there. And if you do have to record a presentation, this is a really slick, it does create a more professional setup. There are some other options coming from Microsoft that'll even be more robust and add more features, but I'm pretty impressed with this and the quality is great. I mean, it leverages PowerPoint's video rendering engine and it looks really good.
Great. Well, I'm kind of excited. I think this is a first for the podcast. We have a news scoop. Woohoo! No one else knows about this.
What do we not know about?
Well, there's no official date yet, but the Presentation Guild will have.
You know about this. I'm very excited.
an amazing guild gathering event in quarter one of 2022 with Sean Villaron, the VP of Product for PowerPoint, Office Graphics, and Video at Microsoft. So this is a really big deal for anyone that uses PowerPoint, and of course for all members of the Presentation Guild, but to hear from basically the top of the product team on what is happening and to come and what's going to be coming with PowerPoint. And here's what's really cool. Troy's team is providing the virtual meeting platform for this event. That's really an awesome offer, Troy.
I'm excited about this event. It's going to be great.
Cool. I'm excited too for it as well. Sean doesn't speak that often. People from Microsoft don't speak that often, so it's a good opportunity to ask anything. Doesn't mean they're going to answer everything, but you can ask the question.
So you heard it here, guys. Look for the news coming out of the Presentation Guild.
I've got a bit of news. Do you know about this, the long label hack for Excel and PowerPoint in bar charts from John Schwabish?
You know what? I think I saw something, but I didn't get to look into it. I saved it.
We all know that when you have long labels for a bar chart, so it, once they get really long, if they go to two lines, they will center themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Which is just ugly. Beyond
aggravating.
Ugly. Right. Now, I believe I did not know this, but I'm not going to say other people didn't, but you can go, like, if you just, like, if you're on the PC, you just click the, if you select the labels and the axis and you click your justification buttons, it doesn't do what you think it would do. Mm-hmm. It's sort of, they like jump up, they jump down. But if you actually click the little drop down to actually format the paragraph, and it's a little hard to explain this, but John did a whole video on it, you can actually go into the true paragraph formatting and right align or left align them. So I admit, I'm not sure I knew that part of it, but here's the bigger part. Because all those that paragraph formatting is not available in Excel at all. So if you're just working in Excel, you could never begin to align your labels. But John found this thing. So here's basically what the hack is. You're in Excel, you have this formatting problem, you copy your chart into a blank PowerPoint slide or just anywhere into PowerPoint, then you align the labels, then you cut it and bring it back into Excel, and believe it or not, everything, all your data connects back in Excel.
So you must embed it into PowerPoint.
You don't even have to embed it. Don't even have to do that. Just paste it.
Wow.
Use the default.
It's linked.
Cut it. Bring it back. Right. It's linked. Bring it. Okay. Right. But that's probably why. And bring it back. Mm-hmm. And everything's linked in Excel. So yeah, as I think John Peltier said, what is this voodoo?
yes.
But it works. We'll put a link in it. John has so much great stuff at PolicyViz. .com. So he's got a little tutorial up there on that.
I am looking through this. This is amazing round tripping. Hey, yeah. I don't do code. I will never admit that I play in XML, but you can do anything as long as you can get to the XML. It's just that when we're in PowerPoint or Excel or even Outlook, you know, the options are limited to what the preset elements are. I mean, mm-hmm. we just have controls to change XML at a surface level. this is an awesome example of the XML availability in one program is different than the XML availability in another program. Mm-hmm. And this round tripping of bringing it in, using it to alter it, then putting it back into Excel and ultimately coming back is it's changing the XML, the underlying code. It just wasn't available in the program you started with. This is brilliant. And want to know where does John go to think through these things?
I don't know, but he lives in Excel and just finds a lot of.
By the way, that's John Swabish, J-O-N, not John Peltier, J-O-H. Anyway, there you go. That is awesome news that I am bookmarking this thing and I got to share it with our team. You guys good if we move on to our topic of the day?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. I believe by now, every updated install of Microsoft Office, Office 365, that is, will have the visual refresh to Office. Of course, for this episode, that did pose a bit of the problem as none of us had the pre-visual refresh interface to actually refer to. So it was kind of hey, do you remember what this looked like before? Or let me look through old screen captures. So this is all about the, quote, visual refresh of Microsoft Office. By the way, that was, quote, visual refresh, unquote. The visual refresh is not a set of new features, but it is a new look. And there are a lot of behind the scenes coding things that will hopefully enable new features that have been kind of packed in there. So let's have a conversation about the Microsoft Office visual refresh. Okay, so I want to kick this off with a quick timeline just to put everything into perspective, because I realize people may be listening to this, you know, a few months, a few years later, because it's the way it works. So in June, Windows 11 was announced. Big announcement, new things are coming. What didn't get quite as big a news is that Microsoft also announced that the Microsoft apps would get a visual refresh. No, not a whole lot of information about it at that point. Fast forward between July and August, that visual refresh became available to the Insider, the beta channel subscriptions. And I went ahead and loaded it up on my Microsoft Surface, which I consider my test computer. And I did have a few blog posts about it, and not all of them saying it was fantastic. Some saying, hey, this is new and interesting. September timeline. So we're coming up towards the end of the year here. The visual refresh was available to all channels. So anybody could get it, but they had to mostly do a manual install and real request of it. It didn't automatically get pushed to us. On October 5th, benchmark in history, Windows 11 was released. Office 2021 was officially released, and both were available. And all new installs of Office 365 as of then, so now in December, have the visual refresh. It should be on everybody's computer, I guess, is what I'm saying. So there we go. There's our timeline.
Okay, so why? Why did Microsoft do this? We're all asking ourselves. But here's basically what they're saying is the refresh is based on feedback from customers who asked for more natural and consistent experience. And that's within not just PowerPoint, but the different applications. So with this update, Microsoft is saying they're more intuitive, it's more coherent, and there's a more familiar interface using the fluent design principles across all applications. So let's talk about fluent design.
Let's. So this is based on, quote, fluent design principles. And we'll put a link in there about what it is. But, okay, it's a design system for Microsoft that's been, you know, its parents or other, you know, design systems. It's sort of an evolution. But in preparation for this, I went through various Microsoft sites trying to like get a real definition of it, and I just couldn't. All I could get was the benefits of it, not exactly what it is. But if you go to Wikipedia, they have actually a pretty decent article. And kind of what it boils down to is this is a quote from Wikipedia. The system is based on five key components: light, depth, motion, material, and scale. So for me, what that sort of equals is more dimensional, more transparent, more, you know, less two-dimensional, less flat. That's kind of what it is. And, you know, so, you know, if you drill down into the rules, you know, they're going to be all different kinds. But I think that's where they're sort of going to a more dimensional, softer, glassy at times, more, and then more sort of unified among programs as well. So does
Which
that
I appreciate
is that is that, cool. is that a good enough? Can we leave it there?
Yeah.
Does that make
fluid
sense?
Fluid from one app to the next. Fluid
yeah,
across
fluid
office.
And fluid. Yeah, but the term is yeah, fluent. Again, which in and of itself means nothing. But you know, they've got a whole, you know, they look good on them. They're, you know, they're thinking and there's a design structure behind things and they're trying to make things more consistent and all that.
I would say
stuff.
That's a big deal. A design structure that's utilized across all of their multiple divisions and apps and you know, it works through Windows, and, the operating system. It's good.
I shouldn't be downplaying a design structure and system because I wish more companies had one or followed one.
Well, that's a good point. So let's bring it back to you know us. What's more important? Hey, is this visual refresh available if we have Windows 10, if we have Windows 11, if we have Mac, you know, are we going to see this? So I'm running. Well, that's kind of interesting. I'm running Windows 10 on this computer. I have it. I'm running Windows 11 on this computer over here. I have it. So I can verify that it is not OS dependent between Windows 10 and 11.
And do they look at, does the program look exactly the same between 11 and 10?
That was
it
my
does.
Question.
It
okay.
does.
Okay. Yeah. All right. No features are missing? Nothing? No surprises?
Well, there are, I don't know about missing, but I mean, I think lost might be a good statement.
No, and here's why I bring that up. I'm on 11. Well, yeah, I'm on 11, but I don't remember what was on the refresh before I switched over to 11, right?
So we're coming up with these things. Hey, is this new? Yeah. Did I not notice this? I got one I'll bring up about Outlook in a moment.
Well, the spacing between the tools, on the ribbon, all of a sudden in BrightSlide, I lost my legacy tools. They disappeared.
Oh.
Now they're there, what? But I just had to search for them. So I called Jamie and he helped me.
Legacy.
Look at BrightSlide
okay.
and I, see you won't, I couldn't see my legacy tools.
Yeah, I think there's a little more space. Now, wait, do you have the, because this is a bigger thing where do you find that? They have the spacing option for basically touch interfaces versus
it's
mouse.
It's in your ribbon, more options, and it's mouse spacing versus touch spacing.
Like, yeah, that's.
Yeah.
That's, okay. As long as
it defaulted to touch. I wanted mouse. So. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, tends to do that. That.
Oh,
that was
wait
a
minute. This is
what?
So I'm now over on my Microsoft Surface, which actually has a tighter pixel count, but you know what? My legacy tools are not visible. I have to click the drop. Wait, hold on. Where are they? Tile master.
Hold please.
I'm going to have to go. Exactly. When we get done, Sandy, I'm going to ask you, because you know what? I don't have legacy tools.
It's in
drop-down here.
Settings and help. More arrow. Click on settings again, and then it's
what?
Ribbon setup.
So
this is where we need hold or technical music while we.
Yeah, we do.
While we figure
oh my
out.
Gosh!
Helpful to everyone out there. Yes.
It was gone. You're right. It was literally not visible. Why would it get turned off? Okay. Okay. Jamie, if you're listening and you have a statement you want us to put on the show notes about why the legacy tools option turned itself off when it's always been on. Does it have to do with the visual refresh? Does it have to do with the BrightSlide update? Now back to our regularly scheduled program.
to answer your question on Mac, I don't see it. Of course, things have sort of started getting a little rounder on the Mac for a while, but I don't really like, I don't see the, we're going to talk about like the floating ribbon or the whatever you call that. So not to my eyes, not much has changed. So I don't think it's,
okay.
it's ported
and
over
I,
just yet.
I could not find a clear definition or a statement online, and I don't have a Mac with me. This is part of the problem of not actually of having a design studio and never going to it. All the Macs are over there. I should probably bring one to my home office because I don't even have one to reference, and I normally do, but I couldn't find a statement that says it is an actual thing on the Mac. But they do have, well, two other important details. Okay, they're very geeky details. One of them is portable devices, and I'm just going to say this without fully explaining it, but there is the visual refresh also includes a new 64-bit ARM version of Office. So it is now the same look, but what it really means is that all of your portable devices, you know, your tablet, your phone, it can install anything that's an ARM-based device, a different type of CPU chip. It can run a very full version of Office. And I think that is a big statement for going forward. I know there's also some, we can really get into it. Microsoft Office has some licensing things based on what screen size you're using. And this may also, it's a whole thing. I mean, basically, there's a whole licensing thing with Microsoft Office and what companies have to pay to put it on their devices and other things. And screen size is one of the parameters. So I think this 64-bit ARM version may override some of those because now you're doing an install of the actual app. I don't want to get into the details, but there's this other one. Okay, let me ask this one. Have you guys ever heard of Office LTSC? Yes. You have?
No. Well, only because I researched it a while back. And
it's, that's another abstract thing. Nolan, it stands for Long-Term Servicing Channel. It's also akin to Office 2021. Think perpetual license or non-subscription installs. In other words, these are the ways to get Office without actually doing a Office 365 in subscription. LTSC is basically corporate channels buying it, government.
But I'm assuming. Updates, right?
No, only
no
those
visual
like,
refresh.
Well, that's, yeah, exactly. They do not include the visual refresh. So the Office 2021 that just released, to my understanding, because I don't have an install of it, does not include the visual refresh, and neither do these long-term service, the LTSC, long-term servicing channel installs of Office. So it's not everywhere. So where I said everybody should have it, that's if you're on Office 365, you should have it. Mm-hmm. Or if you're on a legacy version. Okay, tell us something about
it. One thing to identify whether you have this, is there like one basic thing, like maybe the ribbon?
I think the ribbon's probably the easiest in every application.
It is. You all of a sudden go, ah!
So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. Sure. Let's, I mean, I guess the thing to say is rounded. Everything is rounded. The ribbon has little rounded edges and a slight drop shadow. So now it feels like it's sort of floating over your content. When you highlight a button, like if you're going to click the format painter, you know, instead of just a square highlight around it, it's now a rounded corner. I think we should probably call out that Microsoft labels it as a softer corners. They're rounded, folks. They're just rounded corners. But the marketing team said softer corners.
And I think the biggest impact of that is in the thumbnails. The thumbnails,
for PowerPoint,
on the left side of your screen, all of a sudden you're getting your edges cut off if you have a design there. It doesn't impact the design. It doesn't, when you're presenting, it's not an issue. But visually, it's disruptive on the thumbnails.
Yeah, we've mentioned this to some powers that be, but we still have rounded corners. So yeah, I mean, your slides don't have rounded corners there because they don't. But the view of it, your thumbnails do. So that's just weird.
The obvious thing for me was I went from using the previous pre-refresh of 365, where I had an option of light gray. It wasn't black. It wasn't dark. It was more soothing to my eyes than white. And all of a sudden, my screen was white. It was colorful. It was, whoa, something happened here. So I certainly didn't miss anything. But so when I went back to change it to my light gray, that option has disappeared. And now we have black or dark gray and colorful and white. Yes.
Oh, wait. And there's another one in there. Use system settings is in that list as well.
Oh, so what will that give me?
Well, let's talk about Windows. The dark gray of light. Yeah, it's basically so I'm pretty certain that would not be on the Mac system, by the way, or the mobile devices, but it's going to use, if you're in Windows and you use the dark mode or the light mode, basically Office will follow whatever your Windows settings are, which is kind of cool. If you want that continuity, I couldn't deal with it, but let's ask really a question. Roll call. What do you use for a theme, Office theme color? There's dark gray, black, white, or colorful now. What do you use?
I use white.
I use dark gray in lieu of light gray because dark gray, because the ribbon part is a little lighter than the rest of the screen. So I'm okay with the ribbon, with the dark gray around everything else, and then the ribbon just being a little bit lighter gray. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The absolutely. Background
of the ribbon.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I use the dark gray on all of our systems. I actually dislike the white, ironically. And this is one of those areas where they get a lot of flack, right? To what Sandy was talking about, is that there's been a lot of comments that there's no distinction between the title bar and the content. It all just runs together. And I think white, ironically, is the biggest culprit of that. Well, white and black both do it. There's, you know, in white mode, it's, you know, you get the title where you have your file name and your search bar, and then you have the tabs, and it kind of goes into the ribbon is almost the same gray. It's just like one continuous, it's a personal choice. In black, it's the same thing. Everything is just solid black, and the ribbon is a very, very dark gray. It's very hard to distinguish. I find the dark gray has a little bit more separation between the ribbon content and the other content, and the colorful actually has really good separation if you want a bright, colorful bar at the top, you know, destroying your visual look of everything because now you're looking at a bright orange. Of course, it probably blends in with Nolan's office space, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I love my orange, but tell people where they can make these changes if they want to sort of toggle through and see what works for them.
File, go to File in PowerPoint and
Account. Yeah. It's the same in all apps, all Office apps, File and Account. I think there's a shortcut way to get to this. But anyways, yeah, it's just right there on the left side there. Office theme, dark gray. Mine's dark gray because that's the one I have highlighted, then black, white. Use system settings, then colorful. Colorful will be the traditional orange bar at the top, you know, and if you're using colorful. Oh, that's probably another note. You can only make this setting once for all Office apps. So if you use white mode, you're going to see white mode in Excel, Outlook, PowerPoint, all of them. If you use colorful mode, this is where it's interesting. If you use colorful mode, when you open up PowerPoint, it'll have an orange bar at the top. When you open up Word, it'll have a blue bar at the top. When you open up Outlook, I don't know. Blue. If you open up Excel, it'll have a green bar at the top. Mm-hmm. It isn't exactly the same on all the apps. So it proves that they can make it different per app. But anyways,
it's just code.
Exactly. So I think to your point, the ribbon is the biggest visual identifier because everybody has a ribbon. Although we do need to talk at some point here about how the ribbon isn't always visible now. And I think that's one of the big improvements. So,
I don't know.
Let's see here. Oh, really?
Turn it on and off.
It's got more to it. Dark. No, I know. But just like Nolan doesn't like his dark background,
you get used to what you get used to.
Yeah, that's right.
But at least it's good. It's good that they're giving us options, and
that's right.
You can make these changes, and for Troy that is a minimalist. And
okay, so the ribbon now. First of all, you got to know how to find it. On the right hand side, there used to be a little thumbtack icon that basically said "leave my ribbon open," or you'd use a little up arrow that would say "collapse it." Well, now you can. It's hold on, I gotta go back out of here. It's still the
down arrow.
It's a down arrow now, but all that down arrow does is it's now revealing a menu. And I actually think this is an improvement because it adds a few new features. It doesn't quite go where I wanted it to go, but so to list them off, there's full screen mode. That's new. There's show tabs only. That's new, but not what I was hoping for. There's always show ribbon, which is what we're used to. And then they have hide quick access toolbar. The QAT is kind of its own line item now, which is kind of a cool separation. I actually think this is an improvement. Have you guys all, I'm assuming you use always show ribbon. That's the typical view generally. Of tabs, ribbon, QAT.
In production mode, I always show my ribbon. I may hide it for presenting, but usually not presenting. For example, showing a client a design. Mm-hmm. I'll still be in normal view.
Do you use that show tabs only at this point when you're like, this is where I like show tabs only. Cause it's not, it's the collapse ribbon, but it varies.
Usually I always have my ribbon on because I may be collaborating and need to change things with them, but
well, it's still there. You click and it reveals it temporarily, but it does cover. So Nolan on the Mac, cause I don't have one in front of me. Do you have these options on the Mac now in the interface
for the dark?
No. For when you're on the ribbon, do you have collapsing ribbon multiple options?
No.
You just have the little thumbtack icon?
And the QAT still is only above, sort of in that, in that, that strip just, up there. I feel like the QAT is just hopelessly broken in, on the Mac. You can't, I've given up on it because it's not adding new buttons. And it's just a mess.
Hey, plus, things always get worse before they get better. Because that would be pretty bad for me. I could literally live with just my QAT and the app, because I could do pretty much everything. Yeah. Well, I could do lots there. Okay, so the show tabs only, it removes the ribbon, but it leaves like the file, home, insert, you know, it leaves the tabs. So you can click those and they expand it temporarily so you can get to those controls. I like that one for when I'm reviewing with a client so they don't see the whole. And I still have my QAT available. I could turn it off, but I usually leave that there. Now, the new one is full screen mode. And I've actually really liked this. It removes everything. It just basically makes the whole lower portion of PowerPoint where the slide edit view is. It takes away all the interface, even the file name, the whole top thing, the ability to see any of that details is gone. And the bottom toolbar, you know, for start slideshow and stuff. That is really cool for review and looking at in slide sorter view, or in my case, I'm doing screen captures for tutorials and stuff. Suddenly the screen capture is like literally the slide sorter is the entire PowerPoint window. I like it.
So, and remember you can click at the top and a floating ribbon appears covering. So it covers the top of the slide. So that didn't go, you know, you still have that option.
You know, what's really missing. And this is the part where I was getting at when you're using PowerPoint for web, it has what's called the simplified ribbon. And I was really expecting that to show up here, because the simplified ribbon is just one, it's like the show tabs. That's what I thought show tabs would be, but it shows the most commonly used features. So, you know, like if you're on the home tab, hold on, let me click over to the home tab. It would show paste, the font selection, maybe the shape menu. But it would not show dictate, design ideas, Picket images, or Creative Cloud, or the pen, because those aren't the commonly used elements. I think it's a really, really smart and amazing implementation, but it's only available on the browser-based version, the web-based. And I really thought that would be in here. So kind of missing that. And then there's that QAT thing. You can, what they call show or hide it. I like that option. I'll always show it for the most part.
Exactly. But when we first made the transition, did you have that weird spacing with all the extra labels on it?
Yes. About threw me into a tizzy.
Because we thought we were missing stuff. Yeah.
Because it's the icon plus label words, text. And I don't know. I think I have 32, 34 icons up there. And suddenly I showed 12 of them because that's all the room there was. And new default.
I'm going to theorize that might be an accessibility thing.
Yes, my guess it is.
I'm going to theorize somebody overrode practical common sense that if somebody's made in a preset, you should probably keep that preset. That one really. Hey, I have a blog post. I'll put it in the things. I think I already mentioned this, but because as soon as you upgrade, it does default to that thing that you were just mentioning, Sandy, where it shows the icon plus label in the QAT, and suddenly your QAT is like, just if you've customized your QAT, and apparently if you're on Windows, because the Mac version doesn't even bother with the QAT, it is a disheartening thing to say, hey, what happened? I mean, the color shift of the whole interface from light gray, I'm assuming people use
light. Hey, Troy, will you talk us through how you can turn on and off your QAT?
It's okay. Well, the visibility of hide QAT and show QAT, a quick access toolbar, is at the far right of the ribbon. But the bigger thing is, how do I change what type of QAT I'm doing? And there you have to click the little, hold on, where do you get to it? It's touch mode. Oh, this is really funny. Pause. Because it's not showing up like show hide. Oh, no, there it is. It is. Okay. So you right click on the QAT in an open area of the QAT. Okay. When you right click there, it brings up a new menu and it'll say show command labels. That adds the icon plus that. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to get rid of it, there's one that says hide command labels. That's kind of the new little element. And I didn't notice it because I have them hidden and I was looking. Anyways, right clicking on the QAT.
I could But I see remove QAT. Now, have you experimented with this? Remove the quick access toolbar. Does that mean it goes away forever and you have to reload
it? Yeah, you don't
it?
Want to do that one. You don't want to do that one. Okay. On the ribbon one, there's one that's called hide quick access toolbar. And that just toggles it on and off. Don't use the remove one in the when you right click on the QAT because that's a bad one. But the hide one.
And there's no key commands for that, right?
Not that I'm aware
reading
of.
My mind.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Hold on. If I go to hide QAT, I can't even right click on that and add it to my QAT. That would be a cool button to have on the QAT to toggle it on and off. Like I have, I have guides toggled on and off and interesting.
Maybe it's in the back end, whatever that's called. The menu when you
but that's a lot of, that's a long ways to go to get to it. Yeah, okay. Let's see. What we talked about the QAT. We talked about the ribbon, and that's probably your biggest visual because everything's rounded on it now, and it kind of looks to be
How
floating.
About collaboration?
I love collaboration in Office 365. I mean, it's been it's literally been a game changer for how we work.
Troy's auditioning for a Microsoft commercial.
It has literally changed the way we were. I was very much like, okay, this is fun and cute, and who's going to use this? And because originally when Microsoft was rolling it out, they were using classrooms as their examples. And I understand why now, because a classroom can have 10 to 60 students in it, and they were trying to show that they could collaborate in real time with big numbers. We love it. So here's the thing. First of all, collaboration assumes that the Office document, so the PowerPoint file we use, is actually loaded onto Teams, OneDrive, or SharePoint. So it's actually a collaboration-enabled file. So if you have a file just on your local computer and you open it, there is no collaboration tools because no one else can access it because it's on your local machine. I think the confusing part is that a file can be up on, I'm just going to say Microsoft Teams, because Teams really doesn't hold files. It's OneDrive or SharePoint that holds it in the background. But you can work on it on your desktop version. You do not have to work on it on a web or Teams enabled version. And I think that's been the biggest hurdle and communication gap for Microsoft. So collaboration assumes it is a shared document somehow. It's not local only. And they say the presence indicators, like the little face circles at the top right. So hold on, let me read this. The presence indicators in the top right are now designed to stand out. Also, indicators in the document where collaborators are making changes are available, so you know what they're working on. Okay, it's listed as a visual refresh edition, but this is one of those things where I couldn't go back in time because I don't know how different they are. I know there was something up there that told me.
I'm agreeing. I work with a client who's on the old pre-refresh period, and that looks exactly the same to me. So I'm not quite sure.
Well, I know they're up there in the right-hand corner. It says they're bigger and better. Well, it says they stand out. I don't know what that means, but there
Mine
are presence
bright
figures.
Pink on black now. That does stand out really well, but on...
What? Oh, well, mine's a picture of my headshot, actually, because my team's profile has it.
I don't like to collaborate with anybody, so I
you're just working your own little world.
I'm a lone wolf.
Hey, while we're on this collaboration tip, I'm just going to call this out right now. This month, happening right now on the presentation. We're the presentation. The PowerPoint blog. There it is. Right now on the PowerPoint blog, I have a series going. Basically, it's Microsoft Teams for Dummies. Right now, we're in the middle of, here's how to do it. And one of them is, presence indicators. And one of the posts that hasn't released yet, but it will within, I think it's next week, is how to use the lock feature. Is that what it's called? Lock?
In the selection pane?
No. It's actually in Teams or SharePoint, depending on how you get to it. Checkout. How to use the checkout feature. So you can basically tell people like, hey, you can't edit this file because somebody else is, I'm putting like together, it's mainly for our team and anybody else who wants to join in. There it is. But I've got this, I'm calling it Microsoft Teams for Dummies. I'm not labeling it that, but I'm calling it out as that's what I've called it internally. A lot of my team helped create all the tutorials in it. And then it ends with how to present in Teams. But this whole collaboration thing, I do delve into that a few times. Okay, practical use. Let's just cut to the chase. What are we thinking about the Microsoft Visual Refresh? What do you like? What do you not like? What do you see? What do you not see?
I'm going to say for me, it's not that big a deal. Like, I have to keep asking, like, is that new? Is that like, it's not, mm-hmm. it's, to me, it's just very subtle. And I think that probably goes along with fluent design. I think it's just sort of a, you know, make a little change here, make a little change there. Like, they're not, it's not like, you know, when they gave us the ribbon, right? I mean, that was
right.
Yeah, that was. So,
but the icons are different. They're nice. They're nice looking icons. Yeah, I think it's nice overall. It was just that shock, that initial shock with the colorful.
I'm thinking it's colorful. A little too flat for me in color space. Okay. There's not enough depth and contrast between the icons and the backgrounds. I kind of like the older style, which is really funny because I just have to reference screen captures to go back in time to see them now.
But you're looking at the dark, dark versus dark UI, right?
Dark gray, yes, yeah.
And I think things are a little bit like, again, I'm on the white, and it's just.
That's a good point. The white does definitely
more contrast, I think.
Well, it's black text over a white background instead of white text over a darkish gray background.
Good point. The icons look awful on the black icon, black background.
I have a hard time with the black.
Well, yes.
Okay, but that's why I don't use the black. One of the
You know where I really have a hard time with black is in Excel, because Excel is all icons all the time, and it's just overwhelming. First of all, Excel overwhelms me to begin with. I delve into it when I need to, which is pretty much every day. But every time I open it, it's kind of with a little trip. Oh God, I gotta go here. So, anyways, I have a hard time with it there, and you know, the one thing we didn't talk about, and this one's a kind of an interesting one. This is subtle. Everything's rounded, even the scroll bars. So on the right-hand side, the scroll bar, the little arrow is now like a little softer corner arrow, and the bar itself, it's like a rounded, it's like when we draw a line in PowerPoint, you can change the end caps to be, you know, chisel or, you know, whatever rounded, they're all rounded. Here's the deal. Except in Office. Have you noticed this? So if you're in like PowerPoint. Except for in PowerPoint. So if you're in like Outlook and you want to scroll down a message, the little scroll bar over there is like this little rounded end cap. Well, you're in PowerPoint, you have multiple slides. It's still the old square
rectangle.
Yeah. Rectangle. It's like, did that get overlooked? Like, could you just overlook the thumbnails being rounded corners then, please? Because I don't like these rounded corner thumbnails. Okay.
Again, so to your earlier point, Troy, it just shows that they can do different things in different programs. So they should be able to override the rounded corners in our thumbnails.
I think we all agreed. It just needs to be updated. I prefer the dark gray theme. Nolan prefers the white theme. What do you call the thing where you can add like little flowers or geometric patterns in the upper right-hand corner of all your apps?
Oh God, that.
Hold on. Oh, it's called Office Background. I'm in a file account.
Yeah.
I have no background. Does anybody have calligraphy, circles, circuit, clouds, doodle?
I've never used it ever.
A couple of people on our team do, and I don't mind them. I just find them. I mean, my personal favorite is underwater, because at least it's cartoony and it makes me smile. But I mean, seriously, if I had to choose one, I would probably go to underwater. But I don't use any of them.
The UI companion to Sparkle Pens.
But you know, actually, I'm just clicking through these now. They do a really good job with these of working with the different dark gray, black, white. Colorful. I'm looking at it. Anyways, I prefer dark gray and no, whatever I just called those background things. Hey, I have
I was just going to say, I don't mind any of the changes. Bottom line is, after I got over that initial shock, I think it's fine to work with. When I lose a tool like Bright Slides, legacy tools, one. I figure out how to get it, you know, but, it's fine.
Well, it is the future. Everybody get ready. I do have a quick tip, because I did say that if you set the color theme, it applies to all of the apps, you know, Office and Outlook and everything else. So here's my tip, is that the ribbon itself, like if you have the ribbon in always show full ribbon, show your QAT or hide your QAT, that can be customized per app. I don't want people to think
that's a good one.
If they go, you know, if they collapse it, it'll be collapsed in every program. It is independent to the program for that one feature. And then Sandy, to your point about, hey, things are changed, but are they changed? Here's one that I was just looking at and commented on yesterday. I'm in Outlook and I'm composing an email, and you know, the window was a little bit collapsed and I wanted to create a bullet list. I don't know if this is my first time noticing it, but it's called basic text. And that's where you find your font and your bolding and your, was it always called basic text? Because now I'm looking for the advanced text. There is no advanced text options, which I would consider HTML formatting. Like, is that label new? I don't know. I don't have a way to go back in time.
What is this?
So when you're when you're composing an email, and if you're, well, actually, hold on. If you expand it out, the ribbon section where you format your text, you know, bold, italic, mm-hmm. pick the font. Yeah, it's literally labeled basic text. I think it used to just be called text formatting I think word basic, to me, it kind of suddenly struck me just yesterday as, well, that's a really funny statement. Now I'm looking for the advanced text. I don't know if that's new because of the visual refresh or if I'm just, you know.
Interesting.
I'm blaming everything or something. If anything's new, I say, oh, that must be part of the visual refresh. I don't know. And then the one other thing is, because I'm looking at this, I'm now in Outlook in Compose Email, so I could bring this up. I wonder how Microsoft conveys this fluent design to other vendors. As example, the Adobe Acrobat section has a very big, very bold Adobe icon at the top, which is makes it stand out more than anything on the whole ribbon. Mm. Because it's using the older traditional Adobe icon. Like, so I think third parties, hold on, let me jump back over to PowerPoint. This is good. Oh yeah. Picket Images on my home tab is a bright pink, you know, it's the shutter camera lens shutter. And it's the most visual thing. Oh wait. And Bright Slide Show Hide. SlideWise's Show Hide feature. Those are the two icons that stand out above every other feature or option on the ribbon now because they're third party. They're not following the Fluent design principles. They're saying, ha.
The noun project looks awful.
Wait, where would that? It that would be under like insert. Oh. Insert.
Yeah. See that?
It's also way bigger than the Adobe Stock icon next to it. Hmm. Which I still have a hard time with Adobe Stock being ST. Like, what is it? Anyways. Okay, now we've totally diverged. Okay, you know what? Let me wrap us up because this has been a great conversation. I know it was a weird, as Nolan said at the beginning, this will be a very, we're talking all about fluent design. This will be a very fluent conversation because we're all just kind of rambling on about things we've seen. So let's conclude it in one organized fashion. And here we go. Okay, and there it is. That is our review of the newly released Microsoft Office Visual Refresh. Some things we like, some things not so much. And we're acknowledging that this is it. Everyone now has this visual environment for our daily work. So we all need to get familiar with the new styling and updated workflow changes and just go with it because it's not going to be anything we can change. Hey, thanks, Sandy. Thanks, Nolan, for sharing your insights and your opinions. Nolan, especially, thank you for giving us some Mac insights because I don't have any of that in front of me to reference.
I think the insights were none, and I'm glad to have given them to you.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, fellow presentation people, for joining us for the conversation. We'll see you in a few weeks at the next episode. And well, but first, some pro and tech tips.
Okay, I'll start, guys, if you don't mind, because I'm kind of excited about the new gear that I've invested in. For what it's worth, it's been 5 years since I bought a new computer.
No.
Wow.
Yes.
Like I feel like you buy a new computer every year, so
I don't.
We've just known each other a long time.
Computer. That's right. Well, it was 2015 when the Surface Studio came out. Uh-huh. I ordered it and didn't get it till 2016. But, I mean, that's a long time. Before that, I bet I bought a new computer every 2 or 3 years. This thing was a workhorse, but it was time. I still needed dual monitors. I just wanted to reconfigure my work environment. So I replaced my Surface Studio with the Surface Laptop 4.
Oh.
Which it's nice. I mean, seriously, this thing is, I don't know, it's less than a half an inch thick. It's really, really nice. Ironically, I think it's ironic. I got it in black when I spent my career trying not to have black stuff, but it's a beautiful, beautiful computer. I am using the 49-inch Samsung Galaxy curved monitor for my
this
work
thing
monitor.
Is can you post if you haven't seen this, you gotta see the picture Sandy
can
posted.
can you send me that video, Sandy? I'll put it in the show notes. Absolutely. If you're okay with it. It is, that was the most stellar cinematic reveal of a monitor.
It's like the opening of Star Wars with the long ship. It just keeps going. Okay, that was from
Nolan,
Spaceballs.
What did you say that we're going to have? I need a clock in each corner.
Yeah, for the two monitor? Time zones that it, that, yeah,
for the two time
straddles.
Zones, exactly.
This thing is but, long, wide.
Hey, I will call out. I looked it up. This monitor, folks, is truly 2 16 by 9, 1920 by 1080 monitors side by side, which I've actually purchased a few monitors and realized they weren't that. So this is I have two monitors, two 27 inch monitors in front of me. And this is both those just in one amazing curved. It's beautiful, Sandy. I showed it to Lori and she said, close that page right now. You're not allowed to buy one or two.
I do love the workflow that it enables for me. I love it. So,
and you're connecting that to your laptop now.
Your Surface 4?
Yes.
Is that nice. Is the Surface yes. 4? The Surface 4 is brand new, right?
It's brand new. It's gosh, what is it? It's got a terabyte of storage. It's exactly the same as my studio.
Really?
Maybe even
that's
a little
awesome.
Bit more. Yeah.
So, Sandy, I always thought my Surface was not like powerful enough to be a primary computer, but you clearly
absolutely this is. It's, okay, good. It replaces my studio, Surface Studio in in technology, because this is the biggest downfall of this monitor. I still need touch capability. When I'm presenting to a client, yeah. I need to be able to use my pen and mark up my slides, redline them when we're collaborating together. So that is the biggest downfall of this monitor, I will admit it. And I knew that was going to be an issue when I bought it.
Well, we'll put links for anybody that wants to be as cool as Sandy. We'll have links so you can get your holiday shopping done quickly.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll bring it down a notch. I got to bring it down to a laptop thing as well. I was pretty excited about this, but now I'm thinking, is this going to go over well? So mine is, so we first of all, Nolan, we have very few desktop units in our whole fleet. All the designers, everybody works from a very robust laptop that we hook up to a USB-C dock that hooks up to dual monitors, external keyboard, mouse, and it's working at a desktop environment, but we have these just really cool laptops. So we're used to that workflow already. We do use a docking station. But one of the things with the higher end laptops, especially when you get into real processing power graphics cards, because all of ours have like the 2060, the 2080, or the 30 series. We have a lot of 3060s and a couple 3080s like mine. That's a lot of airflow that's packed into a laptop. So I found these fold out feet. They basically adhere to the bottom of the laptop. They fold in. They look nice and svelte. They work really well. You like that word? I just threw it in there. Mm-hmm. But they do fold out and they create a nice little angle. As example, all of our desks, we have these little risers, little riser bars that are just there. So you can kind of give a little more airflow under the laptop. It's not to angle the keyboard for work. It's just to make sure it doesn't overheat. I'm more worried about when we go to hotels and stuff and they give us the tablecloth covered tables to work on, those velour, whatever, it's like, this is just going to overheat the computer. We've had a few computers, literally graphics card overheat and die because of just being in that environment for weeks running high-end graphics. So I was pretty excited about these ones. I keep experimenting with other things. I normally have this little rubber triangle bar that we've been using, but this is attached. I handed it to Lori. I found it. I bought a set for her. She uses a very small, lightweight laptop. She's like, you know what? These are too heavy for my laptop. So they are metal. They are going to last forever, but they do add a little bit of heft to it. I'll throw a link into there. I think if you have a laptop that has all the airflow out of the bottom and you're going to work in an environment where you're not on a smooth, glass or wood desk, you should probably be adding more work airflow. This is an option for you. I don't know the name of them. I just called them the laptop fold-out feet. Let me click on the Amazon link here and open it back up. And they are called Mini Invisible Laptop Stand. I can't pronounce the name of the company. Aluminum cooling computer keyboard mount. It just keeps going. The name is there. Okay, I'll put... There's my tech tip.
Wait, how do they attach to the computer?
They're literally this 3M crazy adhesive. I'm actually kind of worried that I will rip the bottom of the computer apart if I try and take them off at this point, because it's hot under there. They've got to be melting into it every single day. What do you got, Nolan?
So we talked about John Schwabisch earlier and his voodoo hack. John's got so much really cool stuff at his website, policyviz.com. Actually, this could be a tip for the whole site. But one thing that he's got there is a data visualization catalog that he keeps updated. And it's just an idea catalog of a collection of hundreds and hundreds or thousands of charts up on the web with links, and everything's categorized. So if you want examples of good area charts or bar charts or radar charts, like, you can go find those and, you know, just sort. It's all in this database, and you can just go and click the link and see, you know, oh, this was a New York Times good radar chart, and this was, you know, a Financial Times, blah, blah, blah. So he uses it when he sort of just needs inspiration, but you can also download it. I think it's like 750 megs. You can download the whole catalog as well. So if you're looking for, you know, just basically examples of different types of charts instead of Googling, you can go here, and John is always on top of examples and different types of charts. And it's a nice companion to his book, Better Data Visualizations, which is kind of like an encyclopedia of different chart types. So that is my tip for this episode.
Awesome. Awesome.
And if you don't follow him on Twitter, please just, you have to, you should. He's always, mm-hmm. always good posting stuff. Great stuff. He's got his own podcast and he's a good guy.
Hey, do me a favor, just because I don't do the Twitterverse thing. Mm-hmm. Give me that and I'll add it to the show notes, because I will
give you the link to the guy, and I'll also give you John's on Twitter.
His Twitter handle, hashtag, whatever you call it. Yep. Okay, cool. Let's sign off here and call it a day. This is Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, a professional presentation design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com. If you have a virtual or hybrid event that needs a place for attendees to experience the event, check out vxpmeeting.com. That's our private label, very full feature virtual meeting platform. And I have been very busy with new blog posts that I mentioned. So head over to thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan from Nolan Hames Creative. If you're looking for presentation or data visualization training, you can go over to nolanhamescreative.com and get some information there and contact us. And the Better Deck Deck is still on sale. We're running a little holiday promotion. If you're looking to send client gifts this year, we're doing that. We've already done that for a few people. We'll do customized note cards for the physical deck and send them out for you, or we'll do a customized PDF and make that available to you for your client gifts this year. BetterDeckDeck.com.
And this is Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website and blog at presentationwhiz.biz, the Presentation Guild at presentationguild.org, and I'm on LinkedIn as Sandra Johnson, PowerPoint MVP, and Twitter as @PPTWhiz. And I just noticed that my laptop is $150 off, so if you're looking for a deal, follow the link in the notes.
Sandy doesn't get a cut.
I don't get a cut. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for another great presentation conversation. Episode show notes are available on the Presentation Podcast website at www.thepresentationpodcast.com. Also through the website, contact the show hosts with episode suggestions, questions, or comments. We want other designers to join us, and you can help. Please leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services Incorporated, and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.